done. Okay, next one. Does anyone remember the Choose Your Own Adventure book? Anyone remember? I'm seeing a lot of nods from, like, the men in the room, because I do actually think that these books were favoured by kids who didn't really love reading, because you could get through them in about 10 minutes. So these Choose Your Own Adventure books, they were awesome. What they did was, in case you don't know, which I think most of you do, they presented you with two options, and they were always action-packed. So I'm going to read you a little bit of a snippet from one of these. It says here, beware and warning. This book is different from other books. You and you alone are in charge of what happens in the story. There are dangers, choices, adventures, and consequences. You must use all of your numerous talents and much of your enormous intelligence. The wrong decision could end in disaster, even death. But don't despair. At any time, you can go back and make another choice, and the path of your story and change to result. If you follow them into the city of Atlantis, turn to page 54, that's the first option. If you decide to return to the surface, turn to page 52. If you decide to join the space circus entertainers, turn to page 31. If you decide to throw your luck with the caravan, turn to page 34. And these Choose Your Own Adventure books present us with two action-packed decisions that we need to use our judgment for better or worse, to decide which way we should go. So today we're going to continue on with our Lost Arts of the Faith series. And as I was thinking about what to share, I had a few little ideas, and I came up with one idea, and I'm just like, oh, that's not the right one, and I just couldn't get a piece on it. And then I felt the Lord say, I want you to share on the lost art of discernment. I want you to talk about this concept of discernment and outline what the Bible has to say about it. We live in a really loud and busy and noisy world, and I think things can often be vying for our attention, and it's sometimes really hard to make decisions. But today I want to turn our attention back to this really important need that we have for discernment. The New Testament calls discernment a gift, and the Old Testament describes it as something that we can get, pursue, or develop. The word discernment comes from the Greek word diakrisis, which means a judicial estimation to distinguish, judge, and examine. It is part of this package called wisdom. And I brought my toolbox today. I hope you can all see it. Like, this is my toolbox. I walked in and Michelle goes, have you brought your sewing kit? I'm like, it's a toolbox. So I've got my toolbox of wisdom. And involved in this toolbox of wisdom, we have all of these different things. So in the toolbox of wisdom comes understanding. Don't know what this is used for, but that's okay. It looks good. Insight. We've got insight in our wisdom toolbox. We've got knowledge. We've got knowledge here. Foresight. And the last one that I think is part of this wisdom toolbox is discernment. And I love that I put it on a hammer, because I think discernment is something that really does build our life. Exercising discernment is to see beneath the surface and to have a sense of a message or a messenger's motivation. I remember quite a few years ago when Joshua's youth pastor, and we were leading a sizable youth ministry, and we had one of the young leaders give Josh a word of prophecy. And he spoke this word of prophecy over him, and we took it home and we prayed about it and we brought it before the Lord. And I just got this real sense that we needed to shelve it. And I just said to Doc, I said, I think that, this person was awesome, but I said, I think we need to shelve that word that they spoke over you, because it actually was delivered with flattery and with strings attached from that person. So we need to use our discernment when we're dealing with decisions, when people are speaking to us about spiritual matters, and when we're discerning which way we should go. Discernment is not suspicion, but it's rather making sure something sits well with our spirit and not just with our souls. And I'm going to speak more about that later. Discernment is not being judgmental or being a critical person. And I think this quote sums it up beautifully. It says here, the heart of spiritual discernment is being able to distinguish between the voice of the world from the voice of God. Hebrews 5 describes discernment as a sign of maturity in our faith. And it's part of our mission statement as a church here to make disciples who become both passionate and mature followers of Christ. Hebrews 5:14 says this. It says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Discernment may be more important than ever because we have more information at our fingertips than ever before. We've got social media that's vying for our attention. We've got entertainment. We've got the internet. We've got AI that's like popped up and is just this insane new thing that we're dealing with. And it's this stuff that's really, really noisy. And it's actually got really hard to discern fact from fiction. I think we've seen that a lot over the last few years. To discern information from misinformation, to discern opinion from objective reality. Everything on our social media feeds is part of an algorithm. So we're moving house in 4 weeks' time. Praise the Lord, it's now down to less than 4 weeks. We can't wait because our house just is a little bit crazy at the moment. But the other day I was talking to Doc about we need some wall art. I'm like, oh, we need some wall art. And I think I might have Googled some wall art and I was looking at a few things online. And then suddenly I got onto Facebook and every ad is about wall art. And I'm like, how do they know this? This is so weird. And it's like they're almost listening to you. And but in this world where they kind of curate what's fed to us, we need to be really careful that we're using our gift of discernment to know what the Lord is saying to us. So we're going to unpack this topic of discernment right now. And I think I've got three things that I think can help us to foster a greater level of discernment in your life. First one is, keep a soft and steady heart. I'm going to say it again. Keep a soft and steady heart. In the world in which we live, our hearts left unchecked can tend towards becoming hard and fast. But as I began to prepare this message, I felt the Lord draw my attention immediately to the importance of a soft and steady heart. I heard these words, and they are words from Scripture. Do not harden your heart. And I think it's really easy to harden our hearts if we're in conflict, if we have someone say something that rubs us the wrong way. It's so important that we keep a soft and steady heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Proverbs encourages us to keep our heart with all diligence, because from it flow the wellsprings of life. Medically, a hard heart or a thickened heart actually makes it difficult for our hearts to pump blood. And spiritually, a hard heart makes it hard for us to have these wellsprings of life that Proverbs talks about flowing in us and through us. So every day holds opportunities for us to develop a heart that's hard and fast, or a heart that's soft and steady. Discernment is a matter of the heart, and if we are to be discerning, mature followers of Christ, it starts with allowing the Holy Spirit to soften and to steady our hearts. I know personally, whenever I've experienced conflict, you have all the emotions come up, and you think, oh, why did this person do this? Why did they say that? Why did my kids do that? Why won't they listen? Why can't they be like the other kids that always have their rooms tidy and always fill their drink bottles up and not dump them on the sink? Anyone else's kids dump their drink bottles on the sink all the time? Oh, no one, just me. Oh, so frustrating. But I just know that when I get caught up in my emotions, I know that I'm not going the way of the Lord, and I actually need to arrest my thinking, arrest my emotions, and go, okay, Lord, what would you have me do? I want to bring my heart to you, Lord. Soften my heart. Speak to me. What is the way that you would have me go? Soft hearts are open to and receptive to the voice of God. And when we have soft hearts, we can hear what the Lord is saying. In the parable of the sower, Jesus spoke about the seeds of the word going into soil, soft, fertile soil. He said that soil was like a person who had an honest and good heart, bearing fruit with patience. Soft and steady. Soft and steady. Soft and steady. Some of us need to hear this today. Soft and steady. And some of us with encouragement and the invitation to slow down in the busyness, slow down in the noise, and allow God to soften our hearts as we present them before Him. Maybe you're sensing your own heart has become a little bit hard and fast, but today is that invitation to slow down before the Lord and allow His love to soften us. Soft and steady. Keep our heart that's soft and steady. Second thing I wanted to share with you today, we must set the Word of God as our authority. If discernment is having the ability to distinguish between what the world is saying and what God is saying, we must be people of the Word. We must be people who are of the Word and in the Word and fully believe that the Word of God is true and holds authority. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Alive, active, sharp, burrowing so deep into us that it divides soul and spirit, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Whoa, it's such a big, big verse. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, that exercising the art of discernment means that we go beyond what sits on our soul to ensure something sits well in our spirit. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. But our spirit is our inner man, our spiritual heart. Things might often sit okay in our souls, in the place of our mind, will, or emotions. They might seem right. They might feel right. It might fit in with our decisions or our experiences. But it's important that we are soft and steady and allow the Word of God to speak to our inner man and not just run with the green lights of our mind, will, and emotions. And as I say that, we're not saying there's anything wrong with emotions. I am a feeler. I love all the emotions. I love all the words and all the feels. That I've had to learn over the years that I need to take hold, take captive those thoughts, take every thought captive and submit them to Christ, submit them to the Word of God, run them through what the Word of God says. So as mature believers, people of discernment, we must immerse ourselves in the Word of God and weigh decisions, attitudes, directions, and opportunities against them. Nothing wrong with listening to our soul. It might be the starting place for discernment. But going deeper and training by constant practice, as Hebrews says, and becoming mature requires us to go beyond the soul and allow God's word to have authority in our inmost being. There are going to be times when our soul and our spirits are in disagreement, where God's word challenges our mind, thinking, our attitudes, our will, our preferences, our experience, our emotions. But can we be people that are open to letting God challenge those things? Can we be people that are not too full of pride? Can we be people that actually have that stance of humility and have that soft and steady heart that says, "Lord, I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to let myself get in the way of what you want for me." And I was kind of discussing this thought with Doc this week, and he said, it's almost like that choose your own adventure. You can choose between what's better or what's the best. And I think the Word of God, the way of the Lord is the best way. And I know that even though it might seem like, that the way we're thinking is okay, we need to make sure we're aligning it with what the Word of God says. And every time that will always be the best way. These are difficult times when we've got those conflicting thoughts between our soul and our spirit. And we can justify running in another direction sometimes based on what our soul is telling us. But can we be people that go deeper and allow God's word to sit on our spirit with our responses? Can we be people that slow down our responses with our directions, with our decisions, with our attitudes that set the course of our lives? So we are a people who, number one, keep a soft and steady heart. Number two, we set the Word of God as authority in our lives. And the last one I want to share to you today is we are people that ask for wisdom and discernment. We are people that are going to pray on Thursday at 6:30 in the morning. See you there. and we're going to pray every day, and we're going to ask, we're going to seek, we're going to knock. And how do we get this wisdom and discernment that the Bible talks about? It says it really clearly in James 1, verse 5. It says here, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously, everyone say generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Almost sounds too simple, doesn't it? But maybe today's a reminder that we're the ones that have complicated it. Maybe today we stand as a reminder that we actually need to simplify things. We actually need to become people again who just to fall at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm at your mercy. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. I need your discernment. And he promises that he will always give it to us. He is a God who does not withhold good gifts from his children. God's word promises. Everyone say promises. Promises that if we ask for it, he'll give it to us. Simple. Just ask. But I want you to be relentless in your asking. I want us to be a church that goes after it. I want us to be a church that hunts it down. I want us to be a church that doesn't give up until they've got those answers from the Lord. Because that's just what I want. I want us to be those people. Because we need Jesus more than we ever need Jesus, and our community needs Jesus. And if we are, as believers, if we are not inquiring of the Lord, and if we are not taking seriously, seeking out what his word says, I think that's going to be a problem for us. But I know that there's people in this room, and you get it. You get that that concept of asking, seeking, knocking, and not giving up. You don't give up. Just because you see something in the natural, just because something in the natural looks like it's not being answered, we continue to petition the Lord, and he honors it, and he's generous, and he will answer our prayers, and he will give us that wisdom and discernment that we need. If discernment was our default setting, the Bible probably wouldn't give us so much instruction and importance to it. But by nature, I think our human nature, we're more easily deceived than we are discerning. So today I'm encouraging us to switch off autopilot, switch off cruise control, and to seek wisdom and discernment as you navigate whatever season and circumstances of life you're in right now. We understand we're coming to the end of a year, and I know that coming to the end of a year can bring up a lot of emotions for people as you look back on the year that's been. Or maybe it brings up a lot of emotions for you as you look forward to the Christmas season, because it's not easy for everyone, because we all have family, and family can be complex and complicated. Christmas can be lonely for people. But let's be seeking the Lord for wisdom and discernment into maybe who we need to reach out to in this season. Let's not be people that are too full of pride that we can't actually admit when we need a little bit of extra encouragement, or when we need some, we need some extra help from people, because that's what we're here for. That's what church family is and does. So, for some of you here, you may actually need what our family calls the reset button. Ever since our boys were little, our eldest boys are 18 and they've just finished school, so they're young men now, and we still use this strategy in our family. Ever since they were very little, if they were having a bad day, if they were having a bad moment, we would say to them, just hit the reset button. And it was our family's way of going, you actually are at a crossroads right now. Things are not going well. Things are not going well. Emotions are heightened. Bad decisions are being made. Let's hit the reset button and turn, and let's now walk the way that you need to go. And it was actually a grace that we just extended to one another. We used it this week at home with one of the boys. We used it this week. 18 years on, we're still using that reset button strategy. And I think God does that for us. So maybe today, this is going to be your reset button moment. And you're going to reset. And you're going to bring that thing before the Lord afresh, that conflict, that problem, the decision, or that opportunity, that thing that you've done, that you're doing, that perhaps seems right at the soul level, but you need to go deeper into the spirit level of discernment. Number one, keep a soft and steady heart. Number two, we're going to set the word of God as our authority. And number three, we're going to ask for wisdom and discernment. So I'm just going to ask the band to come up again. And just as they're coming, I'm so grateful. This morning was beautiful. Like, I just love the faith that they brought. I love that they actually brought that sacrifice of praise and they took us with them this morning. So we're going to sing that amazing new song again in a moment. But I'm just going to pray for us before we do that. So can I ask you guys to stand up? And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And Kylie's going to start praying. And I just want you to think about what I've just shared. So Lord, we come to you now. And Lord, we just want to lay out before you. We want to lay our hearts out before you because discernment's a matter of the heart. And you're really into our hearts, Lord. What you say you want from us, that you're seeking worshippers that will worship in spirit, which is the heart, worshiping in heart and in truth. So, Lord, we want to be those people that worship you in spirit and in truth today. We want to be people who are honest with you, Lord. So we bring before you, Lord, our things that we've been doing that may seem right. But, Lord, we want it to be the best way. So, Lord, I ask today that you will be speaking to your people. Lord, we ask that you will give them wisdom, give us wisdom, give us discernment, show us the way to go. And, Lord, let that way that we choose be the way of you. Because, Lord, we want to be people that run after you. We want to be the Jesus people. We want to be the people of the way. So, Lord, help us to do that today. Help us to keep a soft and steady heart. Chip away if you need to, Lord, but allow us to let you chip away. But I know, Lord, in my experience, you always do it so kindly and so gently. So today, Lord, come. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you need to do here. And, Lord, I just pray that the Word would come alive to these people this week because you say that in your Word it is alive and it is active. So I pray that the Word would come alive afresh this week. And, Lord, we want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you that you promised to go before us, that you are behind us and around us, and that we are not alone, and that life's not always easy, Lord, and there's big stuff that we deal with, but, Lord, you promise that you are with us. So now, Lord, we're going to bring a sacrifice of praise, and we're going to press into you, and we're going to release to you what we need to, and we just thank you that you promise that you inhabit the places of your people. We pray it in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.